The University Tower Chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, it's Professor Joe Abbasid.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? That is the Detroit Mercy-est tie I've ever seen.
No, I actually have like a real Detroit Mercy tie color. I had originally bought it. I had it custom made because the place I bought it from didn't have University of Detroit Mercy. They
of course
only had some major schools. It never got in time, but I still got the job.
This was an interview time.
This was an interview, but I wear it during like recruitment events,
sure,
and
sure,
those things when we have students on campus.
Makes sense to me.
You'll see it from time to time.
Very, very cool. Moving around the table. Poor Professor Dan Maggio looked like his head was going to explode.
Oh, I'm sneezy. It's that time of the...
Or Dopey or Docs, that time of year.
I'm a sneezy person. If you know me, I'm very sneezy.
Right, we have one warm day and suddenly you're in full... I mean, I'm a hay fever guy, so trust me, I'm right there with you.
No,
man.
But I sneeze often on all year long.
Is it
my
dust?
Average is probably 5 sneezes, maybe 6
a day or a minute.
No, on
I become the Zyrtec poster child.
Yeah.
Once
but I've been like that for a long time. So,
well, you might have to wait till June this year.
Yeah, I might have to wait till June.
Okay, I'm bringing this up to the panel, and hopefully, it'll engage the minds of our listeners. So, we go to church for the second Sunday of Easter. And this church, our home church, listeners will know what I'm referring to if they live in the area. It is rife with the classic flower of Easter. It's a lily. Lily has just the steakiest, pork choppiest pollen
in
the world.
Allergy-inducing,
right?
Yes.
Right. So this is me going, the AOD has recently, and it's nice to hear, has made it so that there are special stations during Holy Communion where people can get gluten-free, you know, bread. And that's reasonable. I mean, this is people's life and, you know, livelihood we're talking about here. What about the, 20% of people who have this level? And you go into the church, and we're going in, it's just this wall of meaty pollen smell hits me, and I'm like, I don't think I'm going to survive this mass.
No,
like, seriously.
I'm in the choir at my church, so I'm sitting right behind banked lilies. Fortunately, we've gone to the thing where, you know, people can order them in honor or memory of people and get different kind of plants. So, like, I ordered daffodils or, you know, azaleas or something
order
like
plastic,
that.
Jim. So, order plastic.
And only two or three people actually want lilies.
I just think it's interesting because if you wanted to go there, and I'm not saying that I would, you go, you complain to some authority and go, like, I don't want any flowers in this church anymore. I'm trying to worship, and I reserve the right to do that without my head exploding 6 or 7 times. I mean, it's just the next level of, you know.
But I don't know. I don't know how they produce the amount of pollen you can just smell in the church.
Yeah, seriously. That's, of course, the voice of Professor Jim Tubbs telling us about his chorale days, which apparently are very current. There was something about a tradition I read once, and it's just one of those very superstitious sort of things, but it's sort of cute how everywhere that Jesus stepped after he rose from the dead, a lily sprung up. That's actually where it gets its name from, or something like that. I have a religious studies professor making the weirdest.
Sounds a little bit like Saint Christopher carrying him across
the river. Yeah, something like that. Something like that. Exactly.
Interesting tale. Well, you know, in medieval times, stories like that really uplifted people.
Yes, exactly.
They found that. Of course, then they would be going to look for those footprints and, you know, dig them up and bring them home.
That's a different story.
I have the same story with Sasquatch.
Oh, my gosh. Professor Kendra Evans, Easter lilies all over your place of worship, yes or no?
You know, it was the same way you could order Easter lilies in memory of somebody or in honor of somebody at my old church. But my current church, I saw it was a variety of different kinds of spring flowers, which it actually
I like that
is
much
very
better.
Beautiful. And it's a much more colorfully pleasing
array.
And
we have no color around here until the trees bloom in mid to late May.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see some, you know, different colors.
No, it's true.
Right, yeah.
I'm just being cranky, but, you know, my head got, like, engorged with whatever fluids, and then I leave church, and I have the rest of the day to come back to normal, you know. It's like, all right, 50 days of this, great. I'm just being funny. Professor Dave Chow is here with us.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Excellent, excellent. Now, how many Easter lilies do you have at your house?
Growing on the side of the house, we have plenty, actually.
Oh, yeah, you do have
lilies. Have them all over on the side of the house. I leave them be. I just let nature happen. So
mm-hmm. That's all right.
I know nothing. I'm actually okay. Allergy-wise, I don't. If I'm allergic, I don't know.
Well, daylilies usually aren't a problem. It's those trumpet lilies that we use at Easter that are the difficult ones.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's okay. I got marker smells in me all day long, so it just clogs everything else out. So I'm not.
You are a solvent sniffer. Yes. And you know the difference between propellants and accelerants.
Not really. I have to retake that test.
Oh, jeez. Well, if you want to do the thing like in the movies where like Kendra or I is on the other end and you have like an earpiece and we're hydrocarbons.
No, we're outside the window, right?
Oh,
didn't this happen in Seinfeld?
Like I trust me, I could use one of you guys right about
He did he was reading the lips with Marley Matlin. That was just on TV, the tennis.
That's right.
They went to the party to find out why the girlfriend broke up with...
Every time Jason I watch Alexander's that show, George.
George. Yes.
How can I not remember George?
I don't know.
Oh, my. Well, you know, it's been a while since we've had some Seinfeld questions, but this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize, like an autographed photograph or an ATP mug. If you don't stump the panel, you can win a prize, like an ATP mug or an autographed photograph. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@unimercy.edu. Can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/ATP or find us on Facebook. We have a new set of questions here. Dear ATP panelists, thank you for having one of the more entertaining podcasts out there. I'm always amazed by the breadth of knowledge and humor the professors have. I've been wondering if I should just...
Is that us?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
Okay.
I've been wondering if I should just do a topical list of questions or go with the varied scattershot variety. I'm agreeable to doing the research if there's a fun subject you think could be good for a future show.
Ocean liners for Jim again,
yeah.
Right?
We had a couple of those this season, didn't we? But now I've managed to come up with 25 pretty esoteric questions that I think will make the panelists think. I know better than to set a pass-fail grade. I'll leave it up to Professor Mayo to make that determination. It is almost dead week here, so I might get a little draconian. Please enjoy my questions as much as I enjoy your weekly half hour of trivia knowledge with deep appreciation, Amber Hubley. P.S. To answer the recent question about how to pronounce my last name, our family is split. We have some that pronounce it Hubley and cousins that say Hubley. I was brought up a Hubley.
Season Hubley.
I don't know if there's a proper historical way to pronounce it. Maybe the panelists will know the etymology of my family name.
You can Google it now.
I think I've been saying Hubley pretty much every time, Amber. But if you're a Hubley, I don't want to force you to change houses or anything like that. You know what I mean?
It's not like the Hatfields and the McCoys, I hope.
No, or Game of Thrones.
Amber Hubley probably sounds more balanced.
Okay, yeah. All right. We'll give it to you.
Whatever works.
Here we go. In what country would you be from if you were born a Sabra?
Israel.
Israel, yes. It's a nickname for an Israeli.
Wait a minute. Isn't that the hummus they sell? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Sabra brand.
Yeah. Why does that name sound familiar? Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
In what year was Michael Jackson's Thriller video released?
84.
Wasn't 84 and wasn't 86. It was 83.
Wow.
Yeah, it was 1983.
I was a senior in high school.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Eons ago.
Now I know how old you are.
Yes. They gave me fire for graduation present.
Fire?
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. Old joke.
It came down from on high.
A Prometheus. Wheel, perhaps?
No, it hasn't been invented yet.
Oh, my gosh, that is hilarious. Who was the first woman who had her name engraved on Lord Stanley's cup?
Ooh. Whoa. Is it a... Hold on.
Was it a Detroiter?
Owner? Oh, Marguerite Norris.
Marguerite Norris, team president in the 50s. Yes.
Oh, wow. Eons ago.
Oh, remarkable. That's the old Norris.
Because it was that or one of the Clancy's. So, mm-hmm. It was Detroit.
Did they hear that they kicked Gordie Howe's name off the trophy?
Uh-huh. They didn't kick it off.
Well, they just had to make space for more
names.
Why
don't they just add another ring to the bottom?
Because it's already too big to lift.
It's going to be like 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
Because you can actually
it's as tall as a person as it is.
You can actually go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and see the retired rings.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, okay. All right.
They still exist.
Yeah, so it's not like they recycled them and turned them into like sheet metal or anything like that.
Right.
That would be good for the environment, though.
It would be.
But not for hockey.
It's in but the bank. Not as
it's
good for hockey.
Not for hockey.
It's in the bank vault, so it's good.
Where is the Hockey Hall of Fame?
Toronto.
Toronto. Excellent.
You should see the rings, the first rings they had. Yeah, like a little teeny tiny thing. I think, I don't know, Kendra, your fingers might be too big for those. I mean, wow. The first ring that they had there was microscopic.
Interesting.
And they have them in the bank vault.
Hmm.
Fun place.
I saw the clickbaity headline from that recently. It was like Gordie Howe's name to be removed from Lord Stanley's Cup. And I actually thought of our past host of the show. I'm sure that Kathy Bush thought it was at least a little bit of a chuckle. She'd be up in arms, 100%. In what state was the game of volleyball invented?
Oh,
New York.
Not New York.
No.
Out that way, though.
One of my students did a Connecticut.
No,
Vermont.
Close.
Mass?
Massachusetts.
Yeah. Okay.
Holyoke. Holyoke, Massachusetts. Yeah. It's like the sort of thing you drive into town, like home of the invention.
Home of volleyball.
Of volleyball.
One of my students did a speech on history of volleyball.
Well, there you go.
I should have paid attention.
Well, you should not have slept through your student's presentation.
I should not have.
They got an automatic A, right? Automatic A.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That is hilarious. What British city calls its inhabitants, the nickname, not swearing or anything, but it's just sort of a nickname, are Scousers? Scous is the name of a stew that's common to this city.
Manchester?
Mm-mm.
Not London.
No, not London.
York?
Nope. Think the Beatles.
Liverpool.
Liverpool.
But they're Liverpudlian.
Liverpudlian.
Yeah.
That's what they call themselves?
Yeah. That, uh-huh.
That's Scousers.
Yeah.
That's
Scousers.
Like their version
but
of Michigan.
Why does, what's the connection with Sioux, though? I mean, do they...
It's cold there.
I would have said Liverpool.
Yeah, most of England is, but why Sioux, though?
I don't know where
the
blood comes from.
I mean, isn't that all that England has? It's like boiled meat and mashed peas.
It used
and,
to be. Yeah. The diet there is really expanded. Yes.
They have a lot of Italian food.
Become and, very
and,
international.
And Indian food.
Oh, they gosh, Indian food
Chinese
is
food
everywhere.
Too.
Yeah. And they also have a lot of pubs.
Yes.
And Chinese food.
My brother and I decided one time, we were there in London for about 10 days, we decided to have a different cuisine every night. The Hungarian and the Thai turned out to be the fieriest of the various ones that we have. But there, you can find anything in London.
Oh, yeah.
I
always went off the, okay, who did they conquer, you know, as far as like...
Pretty much colonies. Everybody?
Yeah, pretty much. So that's how I picked my food when I was there.
What brand of cigarette did famous newsman Edward R. Murrow smoke on TV?
Lucky Strike?
Wasn't a Lucky Strike guy.
No,
he was a Camel guy. Yeah, he was a Camel guy. That's what it says here.
Without the filter, I think.
That sounds about right.
Him
I can see him on television, you know, holding the cigarette. His nicotine-stained fingers.
Mm-hmm. Now this one is for the really esoteric. What brand of radio did the castaways have on Gilligan's Island?
Oh, Matt, you're going to hate me.
Is it General Electric?
Matt, you're going to hate me.
I bet you know it.
Philco.
No,
it's white.
No,
I know it's white.
It's
right?
A Packard Bell A851.
Are you serious?
That is exactly what it says.
Wow.
You are going to laugh. Okay.
What is wrong with you?
I have put bids on eBay for this thing.
Oh, my God.
They go for $350 a piece.
I can picture it. Was it one that was used on set or just?
No. They, it was
the
a
model.
Model the model used. They used. There's actually a model
whose battery somehow lasted years and
coconut
years.
Coconut water. Well, actually, there was two radios. The original one was a Magnavox, which was only
create electricity out of seawater.
Yeah,
out of coconuts.
But the first one, Matt, was actually one that what the heck?
Whoa. Just the heat coming on.
All right.
Just the heat.
Clank, clank.
So anyway, the first one they used was actually for photos, for photo op, and the one that they used for the television show. They actually put a fake prop handle and an antenna on it.
Oh, that makes sense.
But they have the AR 851 for sale, but it's a collector's item. Serious collector's item.
Oh, yeah.
See? Yeah, that was remarkable.
It was remarkable.
I've
in the audience,
one for years.
It should be noted that several of us were speechless for several minutes.
Yes, speechless.
Heather would say I've reached a new level of nerddom, right?
What did Dan say after you answered it correctly?
What is wrong with you?
What's wrong with you?
You, okay, Dan, you've seen my house.
No,
you know how much junk and clutter I have in my house.
I will follow it up with my own obsession that has not sent me to eBay, at least not yet. In the Simpsons parody of this exact situation, like why is the radio battery still working or whatever, when the children got marooned on a desert island, the smart kid was asked to fashion a drinking water system and if possible, a coconut-based video game. So there you go. The professor's legacy lives on.
We all have our own level of nerddom and geekiness, and that's always been one of those odd...
I would like to have the range of education of the professor.
That would be good. That would be good.
We had that question years ago. How many schools did he attend? I can't. I think it's like five, like, Ivy League schools he attended.
Yeah, in how many areas of study?
All over. So.
Four cast members of the TV show MASH served in the U.S. military.
Oh, boy.
Three were in the Navy. One was in the Marines.
Oh, Alan Alda?
Alan Alda was in the Navy.
Probably mm-hmm. Henry Blake.
Mm-mm. McLean Stevenson? Nope. Wayne Rogers?
Wayne Rogers was
I
in the Navy.
I only know Alan Alda. And
that's all I know.
Sherman. Oh, you're thinking...
who played Potter?
Sherman. Harry Morgan?
Harry Morgan?
Nope.
Harry
nope.
Morgan.
Nope. Nope. I got Alan Alda and Wayne Rogers so far.
Okay, Gary Berghoff was missing a finger, so he couldn't have served. Jamie Farr?
Jamie Farr was in the Navy.
Okay. He's missing a finger?
Yes, he's missing a finger.
Well, was that because of his service?
No, I can't remember what it was, but he was missing a finger.
Last one was a Marine. Initials M.F.
Mike Farr.
Mike Farrell.
Farrell.
Yep, Mike Farrell was his name.
Sorry, Mike Farr is son of Mel Farr.
It's easy to get that mixed up.
Sorry, I was short a few letters.
Mel Farr, superstar. What color are the pants worn by the U.S. Forest Service mascot, Woodsy the Owl? Because he's only wearing pants.
Brown.
That's the idea.
Brown or green?
They're green. Okay. They're not brown. He has suspenders.
Yeah, of course he's got to wear suspenders. Yeah.
Woodsy the Owl. They did not try very hard.
Give a hoot, don't pollute.
Give a hoot, don't pollute. That's right. We saw those PSAs growing up quite a bit. What city, when they closed down the franchise, did Major League Baseball's Montreal Expos move to?
Washington.
Washington, D.C. to become?
The Nationals.
The Nationals. Max Scherzer stole a base the other day, which is really weird for a pitcher.
He's a pitcher.
Yes. Yeah. He has to bat in the National League.
He actually got to base.
And he stole a bag. Kind of a big deal. Let's see here. Ooh, I know this, but I don't know it. I'm going to ask everybody to fill in the gaps here. What are the names of Monty Hall's two longstanding sidekicks from
Carol
Let's Make
Merrill.
A Deal? Carol Merrill and initials J.S.
I could picture him because he always brings out that little TV tray full of stuff.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. J. Not Chevalier or something.
I was thinking the curtain ladies.
That's Carol Merrill.
Right, but I thought there were two.
The Royal House of Scotland, does that help?
Jay Stewart.
Okay. No, because the other one I was thinking about, Susie Stafford, but that was Wheel of Fortune back in the day.
Pre-Vanna White?
Yes, pre-Vanna White with Chuck Woolery.
How could Wheel of Fortune be without
I just
Patsy
don't know.
Jack
there would be no Wheel of Fortune without Vanna White.
How could there be Jeopardy without Alex Trebek?
Well done, geez.
What's the technical term for the disease we call whooping cough?
Pertussis.
Pertussis. That is correct. It's seeing a resurgence. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thanks to an Ann Arbor breakout a few years ago.
I know someone that got it from her grandchildren.
It's very dangerous.
Oh,
sounds like something simple.
I don't think it's simple.
The
coughs it's
are
very
quite
dangerous.
Whooping.
Yeah, my daughter had a really bad cough when she was a newborn baby, and I had a really bad cough, and so they thought it was pertussis.
Yikes.
But it tested negative. But they really...
Is it a viral or bacterial?
Where's Stephanie
viral.
When we need her?
Yeah, where is Stephanie? I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like coughing you can't stop.
In
and
general,
it's a deep
where is Stephanie?
Cough.
We haven't seen her.
She's busy.
Yeah. She's a chair.
Chair. Yes, yes.
And mom.
But even if you're dealing with children at all, even if you're grandparents or your caretaker, you should get your pertussis vaccination.
Good advice.
Yeah, did my part.
While we think about that advice, we'll take a break.
It's an Ask the Professor flashback.
I was in a Harmony House yesterday buying a CD, and the clerk, when they took my credit card, asked if I were the guy from Ask the Professor.
You're did silly. He give you a discount or a
no,
freebie? Or?
But he asked a lot about George.
Were you in Livonia?
No, I wasn't in Livonia.
Mr. Magnet.
Yeah. Our next set of questions comes from Catherine. Now, this is Ledesma. Is it Leedsma or Ledesma?
Is
I don't
it
know.
From Grand,
Grand
Rapids?
No, from Crowley, Texas. So,
wow.
I don't know how it's pronounced. I probably mangled it. I have finally mustered up the courage and the questions to send to your program.
Good.
I've listened to you for many years and lost you when KHJ changed to K-Earth in Los Angeles.
Ah.
But the time I caught up with you again, Professors George and Sarah had become chairs.
And the rest of us are end tables.
Poor babies.
It's a function of age.
In 1995, I moved from Orange, California to Crowley, Texas. Thank goodness KRRW 97.9 FM has enough class to carry you all.
Hey.
You have helped this 50-year-old blind woman through a difficult adjustment period. Every Sunday night, I hop into bed, put on my earphones, and at midnight, giggle silently under the sheets.
Just don't get caught.
Even from the neighbors.
Time to get to work. I have chosen some questions on sports, to which I know all or some of you will know the answer.
Oh, no.
This is our word.
Since I can't tell the difference between an autograph and a photograph, it doesn't matter to me how many you got right or wrong.
We'll dig up a keychain.
We'll do something.
We'll find something.
God, we'll come and move your furniture.
Yes, I just wanted a chance to star on your show. If my answers are wrong, blame Reader's Digest.
We'll send you a couple of chairs.
You come to Detroit, we'll put you on the
show.
It's
nice that somebody actually cares about
us. That's wonderful.
And we're back. We're really having a lot of fun with these questions, Amber. So please, everybody, Amber and everybody, please keep sending them in. What fictional character had antagonists named Jimbo Dawson, Muggsy Moonsooner, Rowdy Culip, and, of course, the inimitable Bugs Meany? I actually know the answer to this one.
This explains
a lot of who I am.
Is it a cartoon?
Yeah, it's not a cartoon.
It's not Hanna-Barbera.
Nope. It was a 60s, 70s era young adult fiction.
It's not Dick Tracy, is it?
Nope, but you're getting closer. And it was mostly enjoyed, I'd say, by Generation X instead of the generation it was written for.
It's not Batman, is it?
Nope.
No.
It sounds that way, though, doesn't it?
Rumble them off again? One more.
Sure. Jimbo Dawson, Muggsy Moonsooner, Rowdy Culip, and Bugs Meany. Bugs was always trying to run some scam. No idea, huh?
It's not the Hardy Boys.
It's not Nancy Drew.
You guys don't know this one. His real first name was Leroy.
Well, it's not Nancy Drew.
Is this the Encyclopedia Brown?
Encyclopedia Brown,
that was
Encyclopedia Brown. I didn't realize it was a TV show.
No, it wasn't. I said it wasn't a TV show.
I thought it was books.
Remember he also had Sally, which was like the tomboy that would defend him?
Sally was his muscle. It's a big deal.
The author died a few years ago, I think.
Yes,
Donald
that's
J. Sable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you remember, was it? There was that one song, Big Bad Leroy Brown. I was like, wait a minute, Encyclopedia Brown's got
songs. Encyclopedia Brown. Today, by the way. Oh, crazy. Okay. What TV character was credited with the marked rise in women studying science in the 1990s?
Bill Nye?
Would be a female
TV character.
Doogie Howser.
No, nope. It was from X-Files. Was it from X-Files?
Dana Scully.
Dana Scully. The only tattoo I've ever actually considered getting on that show. No, not of Dana Scully.
Yeah.
On the show, Dana Scully had the Ouroboros, the picture of the snake biting its own tail.
What did you say about having...
I think it was a good decision to not get that.
I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
He's still got time. He's still a virgin.
Did you get the X-Files tattoo?
No. Dana Scully on the show had a tattoo of a snake biting its own tail, is an ancient alchemical symbol of infinity. And
unfortunately, it involved a snake.
Oh, see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Professor Evans would never speak to me again.
No, I don't.
Snakes? Why did it have to be snakes?
So much for that Christmas gift idea. I guess I'll have to return the python,
Think back.
One of these favorite
things. In secret Disneyland speak, what is a protein spill?
Vomit
is correct.
Yes.
Gross.
Hold on. How would you even use that in context?
I don't know.
Protein spill on.
Oh, is this like hospitals asking for Dr. Brown?
Yes.
Behind the scenes
language.
My boss's son works at the zoo, and they definitely have some special speak. It's like code red in the monkey house. If you ever hear that, just run for the exit. That's all I got to say. Wow. That is real. They quiz them on it before they're allowed to work there. What group of individuals had nicknames Big Tuna, Baby Shanks, Horseface, Jimmy Dumps, Benny Squint, and Tommy Karate?
This is a TV character?
No, it's not that specific. This is more of a way of life for certain individuals.
Wait, is it horses for Kentucky Derby?
No, but that's actually pretty good.
Baby Shanks?
Big Tuna, Baby Shanks, Horseface, Jimmy Dumps, Benny Squint, and Tommy Karate. These are all famous nicknames from the modern era of...
They sound like cologne.
Are they mafia fighters? People?
It's mafia people is what mafia. It is. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Okay, because I'm like... Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure some weird
they're
cologne.
They're selling such sweet names. Yeah.
I love that Dave thought it was horse racing with one of the horses named Horseface.
That is really great.
It's going down like the very first like Mayo family meme when I realized my kids had the same sense of humor that I did, and it definitely doesn't jive with my wife, is the boat that they named in England. They ran the contest online, and the winner was Bodie McBoatface. Oh, yeah. That is the greatest joke ever, and it never gets old. That's
I just
I
wasn't sure if you guys were suddenly like assigning mafia names to your kids or something like that. That's all.
But with a son named Lorenzo Mayo, I don't think I need to work too hard for that.
No, you don't.
He'll either be a mafia hitman or a piano mover. Where?
What's the difference?
Was the world record set for 24-hour rainfall, and how much rain fell within those 24 hours?
A rainforest.
Brazil.
I'm giving partial credit. It wasn't Brazil.
Oh.
It was in South America somewhere?
It was in 1966, and it wasn't South America.
Asia, Southeast Asia.
I'll give it to you. It was in the Indian Ocean on La Reunion Island. But how many inches of rain fell in 24 hours for the absolute world record?
110.
That's a little high.
50.
It was 71 inches of rain.
Wow, that's almost 6 feet.
That would be about 18 feet of snow. That's all I got to say. Rather have it fall as rain. This is a wonderful piece of trivia that all red-blooded Detroiters should know.
Oh.
When David Lee Roth left Van Halen, oh my gosh, who were the first two choices for replacement lead singer as suggested by band founder Eddie Van Halen?
Bob Seger.
Bob Seger.
Mm-mm. But you're close. You're thinking of Detroit classics.
Eminem.
She was the lead singer of Scandal at the time.
Not Patti Smith.
Patti Smith.
Is that the same Patti Smith?
That kind of makes sense. Okay.
And what about the other choice, which is something you'll never guess in a million
years? What, like Mitch?
Initials DH, famous 80s duo.
Daryl Hall.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. What? No.
I mean, don't get me wrong. He's got a great voice. But
Not enough energy to replace David Lee Roth. He doesn't jump around enough.
Oh, that is the end of our show. It's time to say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Evans.
Bye.
Professor Tubbs.
Goodbye.
Professor Maggio.
Bye.
Professor Avised.
Take care.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu. Tweet to us on Twitter at AskTheProfessor or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed to the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced by, Daryl Hall, technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.